It's my privilege this morning to welcome Bishop John to your church of St. Matthew in the city. Welcome here. It's good to have you in our midst.
Thank you, Glenn. My responsibility, therefore, and pleasure is to welcome you all as you come with us to worship God. Tēnei te mihi atu ki a koutou, ko tai ki tēnei rā, te karakia whakapā, ā he karakia tahi tātou, tēnei mihi atu tēnā koutou. Welcome to you all.
Tēnā koutou te whakamininga o hātō Matthew, tēnā koutou ngā manuhiri, kia koe hoki te pihopa, he mihi tēnei kia koe, tēnā koe. Nō reire e te katoa, taumai ki tōna ahurewa tapu. E te whānau a te karaiti, God is love. God gives us life. We love because God first loves us. In baptism, God declares that love. In Christ, God calls us to respond. Together we pray. Holy and ever-living God, by your power we are created, and by your love we are redeemed. Guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give ourselves to your service and live each day in love to one another and to you through Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear the teaching of Christ. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Spirit of God, search our hearts. In silence, we call to mind our sin.
Through the cross of Christ, God have mercy on you, pardon you, and set you free. Know that you are forgiven, and be at peace. Amen.
The peace of Christ rule in our hearts.
The word of Christ dwell in us richly.
The sentence and prayer of the day. I will give you a new heart, and put a new spirit within you. I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Together, Almighty and merciful God, we pray that your Holy Spirit, who comes and dwells in us, may ignite us to proclaim the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 9. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all living things be cut off by the waters of a flood. And never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and living things of every kind. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all living creatures. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and living things on earth of every kind. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all that lives on the earth. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the Gospel of Christ according to Mark, chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. This is the Gospel of Christ.
I'd like to invite the congregation, please be seated, and the four confirmands to come out here to the front. If you'd like to come stand on, probably on that step there. We've asked the confirmands to each make a statement about why they want to be confirmed. Got your little statement.
When I was baptized here at St. Matthew's, my parents decided I should belong to the church. Now I am old enough to decide this for myself. I am ready to commit myself to the church on my own and follow Jesus' teachings in all that I do. By being confirmed, I am declaring this commitment to all the members of the church and wish to become fully part of the church.
My baptism was a celebration of God's unending love and the gift of my individuality. This confirmation also celebrates that love, but it is also a celebration of my journey with you, the community of faith. And though I may not always believe like you, I have been called to believe with you. I am here today to accept that calling, to affirm my faith, and to take my place among you.
I was raised a Christian, but I drifted away in my teens. I spent much of my adult life looking for God in all the wrong places. Eventually, I found my way here to St. Matthew's after reading Glenn's article in the Herald about Advent. After taking communion for the first time, the feeling of having found my spiritual home here was overwhelming, and it grows stronger every week. I wish to be confirmed to signal my commitment to living with the consciousness and presence of God in my life every day.
I wish to be confirmed to reaffirm my own faith, and I also wish to recognise myself as part of the wider Anglican community and also of the St. Matthew's congregation in particular.
There's a sentence in the first letter of Peter. And it seems so right following those wonderful statements we've just heard. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Some of you will know that I have to undertake a reasonable amount of overseas travel because of my international Anglican responsibilities. In fact, I understand from Glenn that some of you might want to talk about that with me following the service. So be it. Normally, in my experience anyway, the easiest airport to move through the arrivals procedure is Heathrow in London. The form you have to fill in is the smallest of any. The number of questions they ask you is minimal. But on one very recent flight into London, in fact, just last week, I presented myself at the customs and the immigration desk, looking tired from the long flight, dressed very casually in an open-necked shirt. The immigration officer was an Indian woman who turned out to be a Hindu. She asked me why I was coming to England, and I replied quite truthfully that I was there to attend church meetings. She then asked me my occupation, and when I told her that I was an Anglican bishop, she became quite suspicious. Most representatives of religious faiths that come through the airport, she told me, are easy to pick out because of the way they dress. If I was really a bishop, why wasn't I dressed like one? She gave me quite a hard time, actually. And I had to be careful in what I said to her. And those words from the letter of Peter came to mind quite readily afterwards when I was sitting in the tube reflecting on that experience. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. I sometimes wear clerical dress when I'm flying, and my experience is varied, actually. You can be accosted by passengers or even by crew who want to ask you awkward questions. Because if you're confined to an aeroplane cabin for many hours on end, you're an easy target, and it's not easy or possible to escape. Sometimes you become engaged in very interesting conversations and you feel that you might have met a real need in offering advice or simply debating matters of faith and belief openly and clearly. But I get tired of people sitting next to me telling me why they haven't been inside a church for 40 years. Usually I try and protect my privacy and I endeavor to travel anonymously. I did have one very interesting encounter on a flight from Los Angeles to Auckland. This sounds like a travelogue, but we'll get to a point soon. I'd been upgraded into first class and found myself sitting next to a woman who informed me that I had just drawn the short straw because she was the most nervous airline passenger in the world. Well, again, I was dressed casually and she had no reason to know who or what I was. I asked her if it would help her anxiety if we were to talk. And she responded gratefully that conversation did take her mind off things, particularly during takeoff. I asked her what she'd been doing in Los Angeles, and she replied that she worked a great deal in Hollywood in the movie business. She then showed me her boarding pass, and it was in the name of Miss Broccoli, the same as the vegetable. Is that what I thought? I immediately thought of that, but then she told me she'd inherited the task of producing movies from her late father, whose name was Cubby Broccoli, famous, of course, for making the James Bond movies. She then started asking me questions, and when I told her I was a bishop from New Zealand, she asked me to pray with her for safe travel. And then she told me she was trying to secure the services of a New Zealander to direct what was about to be the latest James Bond movie, and wondered if I happened to know him because I came from New Zealand, and his name was Lee Tamahori. Well, I told her I'd never met Lee, but I knew many of his family, as three generations of that family had been Anglican priests. I might say this happened before Lee's rather dramatic reappearance in the news in this last month or so. Anyway, my comments kept her chatting away for hours. She moved in a jet set that included Princess Diana and Dodi Al-Fayed, and with that American gift for idle chatter, she kept me listening until we were well over the North American continent. But right through her chatter, she took the opportunity to ask her captive bishop penetrating questions about life and faith, and particularly actually about Maori spirituality. It was fascinating. Once again, always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Well, what's all this got to do with St. Matthew's and with the confirmation of these four people? Today marks a significant milestone on the journey on which these people, these candidates, have embarked. It's a step into a new way of living. It's a significant step for all of us who are here to support these candidates, as we all recommit ourselves to love and serve God, to the mission of God's church, however understood. And for all of us in St. Matthew's this morning, as we join these four persons in confirming for themselves the promises made in baptism, as they come before the bishop, receive the laying on of hands with prayer in this sacrament of confirmation. It's a real privilege for us all to be present, to support these people with our love, with our prayers, with our encouragement. For this act of commitment, says that they want to be more fully with us than before. And what does a bishop mean when he says things like that? What does a mature commitment to faith in 2006 actually entail? Well, let me list some ideas for us to think about. A mature commitment to Christian faith offers a person an opportunity for personal reflection and spiritual development. Anglicans are not afraid of ideas. Our faith often provokes challenging questions about the ultimate meaning and purpose of life. It raises questions about belief in God, in the self, in the nature of reality, issues of right and wrong, what it means to be human. Our faith enhances our awareness of other religions and beliefs, other values and traditions, as we explore more deeply our own beliefs and questions of meaning. It challenges us to reflect on, to consider, to to analyze, to interpret and evaluate issues of truth, of belief, of faith and ethics, and to communicate responses. It encourages us to develop further our own sense of identity and belonging. It enables us to flourish individually within communities of people and as citizens in a bicultural Aotearoa, New Zealand, in a multicultural city such as Auckland, in a pluralistic society from which we cannot escape, and in a global community. Our faith commitment enables us to develop respect for and sensitivity to others, and in particular, those whose faith and beliefs are different from our own. It promotes discernment. It enables us to combat prejudice. Now, that's quite a prescription, isn't it? So let me walk us gently through this act of commitment. The confirmation service starts with each of the candidates being presented to the bishop to profess faith. And that's not an easy thing to do. So the bishop tries to be kind and gentle and says, as he welcomes them, "At your baptism, you were made a disciple of Christ, and we signed you with the sign of the cross. Come now to receive the laying on of hands with prayer to strengthen you for the work of God's kingdom." In other words, the commitments that each of you are about to make will require help and strength from sources beyond yourself. But as you make these commitments, you'll be joining the ranks of millions of people down through 2,000 years who've uttered those words, who've stood where you stand, who've knelt or stood before a bishop, who've taken their baptismal promises seriously, and have confirmed for themselves that they are going to walk through life with Christ, who've made this simple yet enormous commitment. And that, put absolutely at its simplest, is the sacrament of confirmation. Yet, you can't do all these things. You can't keep up the struggle for goodness. You can't measure up to the fullness of the stature of Christ, relying simply on your own strength. You need the strength of God in order to endure. You need the love of God poured into your hearts by the Holy Spirit. Well, the questions in the confirmation service and the answers provided for you then get into a little more detail. We join in affirming the historic Christian faith, that of the universal church, in the words of one of the historic creeds. But we need then to tease that out a little because it's historic language. So the bishop asks some questions of you as if you were sitting in CEA. Will you commit yourselves to a life of worshiping and serving God? Now, another way of asking that might be, are you going to keep coming to church? But this is taken from an Anglican prayer book. We're much more polite, much more theological than that. But don't forget that your parish needs you, and God needs you. And what's perhaps more important, you need the parish, you need St. Matthew's, and you need God. Your friends, your families, your vicar, to say nothing of the bishop, have all heard you make that promise. Yes, of course I will, with a little help from God. And then the bishop makes it harder. There are a series of questions. You're asked to answer them one after another as a group. Will you forgive others as you are yourself forgiven? I will. Will you seek to love your neighbor as yourself and strive for peace and justice? I will. Will you accept the cost of following Jesus Christ in your daily life and work? Well, Bishop, that's a tough one. Yes, I will. And will you keep it a secret? Well, I don't actually say that. What I say is, will you, with the whole church, proclaim by word and action the good news of God in Christ? It's the same thing. Yes, I will. But I'll need a lot of help with that one. So we're all asked to pray for you because it suddenly becomes clear that you can't keep all these promises without a lot of help. You've already experienced something of that from your family, from the vicar, individuals within this community of faith that is St. Matthew in the city. And now we widen that to include this whole congregation, parents, godparents, friends, families. It's your support group. And then you hear those wonderful words of the collect, the special prayer, which talks about a gift that is yours from God, a gift no one will ever take from you, the gift of grace, growing into the fullness of the stature of Christ, the joy of God's presence, the fruit of God's Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of love, of patience, of gentleness, the Spirit of wonder and true holiness. This really is a very important day in your lives. Then come the actual words of confirmation. Creator Spirit, strengthen Darren, strengthen Barbara, strengthen Mel, strengthen Gino with your gifts of grace to love and serve as disciples of Christ. Guide, protect, uphold them, that they may continue yours forever. Because, you see, the promise is ours to claim. God will be with us to the end of time. The same God who's revealed in history and in creation, the same God who lived amongst us in the person of Jesus Christ, the same God who walks alongside us, who acts within us as the Holy Spirit. That's not a mystery, and that's not too hard to understand. And it must not remain a secret. Always be ready, says St. Peter, to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. The hope that is in you, given to us. A gift from God. Now, what did that collect, that prayer say? A gift that is yours from God. A gift no one can ever take from you. A gift of hope, the gift of grace. God's love that's been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. It's more like a miracle, actually. And it need not be a mystery. To walk with Christ is to walk in the light. And that is as different as the night is from day, out of darkness into light. It's the wonderful image that that same letter of Peter uses. Well, this morning, all of you have trusted us to witness you confirming for yourselves the promises made for you by others when you were baptized. And you've told us something of your personal stories. That is a gift from each of you to us. And we're privileged to have that trust from you. Now we journey on together, ready to put our courage, our faith, our very life into God's hands, but firm in the assurance that God is with us, that Christ is our companion, and that the Spirit is the gift that none can take away. Firm also in the assurance of the hope that is in us, that will sustain us throughout our lives. So, time now for us to let go and let God. Let go of words and let God act through these great sacraments. Amen.
Thank you. Bishop John, we present Darren, Barbara, Mel, and Gino to profess their faith.
Darren, Barbara, Mel, and Gino, we welcome you as you come to profess your faith. At your baptism, you were made disciples of Christ, and we signed you with the sign of the cross. Come now to receive the laying on of hands with prayer to strengthen you for the work of God's kingdom. And now let us, the baptized, stand and affirm the faith of the universal church. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The congregation may wish to be seated for this next piece. Those who are baptized are called to worship and serve God. From the beginning, believers have continued in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers. Will you commit yourself to this life? Will you forgive others as you are forgiven? Will you seek to love your neighbor as yourself and strive for peace and justice?
I will, with God's help.
Will you accept the cost of following Jesus Christ in your daily life and work?
I will, with God's help.
With the whole church, will you proclaim by word and action the good news of God in Christ?
I will, with God's help.
Now let us all pray for these persons who have declared their commitment to Christ's service. We pray firstly in silence. Our help is in the name of the eternal God.
Who is making the heavens and the earth.
Come, Holy Spirit. God of mercy and love, new birth by water and the Spirit is your gift, a gift none can take away. Grant that your servants may grow into the fullness of the stature of Christ. Increase in them the fruit of your Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of love, patience, and gentleness, the spirit of wonder and true holiness. Amen. Creator Spirit, strengthen Gino with your gifts of grace to love and serve as a disciple of Christ. Guide, protect, uphold him, that he may continue yours forever. Amen. Creator Spirit, strengthen Mel with your gifts of grace to love and serve as a disciple of Christ. Guide, protect, uphold her, that she may continue yours forever. Amen. Creator Spirit, strengthen Barbara with your gifts of grace to love and serve as a disciple of Christ. Guide, protect, uphold her, that she may continue yours forever. Amen. Creator Spirit, strengthen Darren with your gifts of grace to love and serve as a disciple of Christ. Guide, protect, uphold him, that he may continue yours forever. Amen. Living God, empower your disciples to bring life to the world.
Amen. May we embody together, be bound in Christ and Christ in us.
Congregation, please stand. The peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
Et Tophano, we are the body of Christ.
By one Spirit, we were baptized into one body.
Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Amen. We are bound by the love of Christ.
Please turn and greet those around you.
Peace. Well done. Well done. Peace. Peace. Thank you for the lovely music. Peace.